Chapter 3. Welcome to another episode of our podcast on the Bhagavad Gita. Today, we're going to explore the third chapter of this ancient Indian text, which is widely regarded as one of the most profound and influential spiritual texts in the world. In this chapter, we'll be diving deep into the concept of Karma Yoga, the path of selfless action. We'll explore how this path can lead us to a state of inner peace, wisdom and fulfillment, and how we can apply its teachings to our own lives, no matter what our background or beliefs may be. So sit back, relax, and let's journey into the world of the Bhagavad Gita. First, let's take a quick recap of the previous chapter. In chapter 2, we learned about the nature of the self, the soul, and the ultimate reality. We discovered that the true self is eternal, beyond birth and death, and that we can attain this realization through meditation and self-awareness. In Chapter 3, we are introduced to the concept of Karma Yoga, which is the yoga of action. This path teaches us how to perform our duties and actions in a selfless way, without attachment to the results. By doing so, we can overcome the cycle of birth and death and attain liberation. The chapter begins with Arjuna asking Krishna about the difference between renunciation and selfless action. Arjuna is confused about which path to follow, as he sees both renunciation and action as valid paths to spiritual realization. Krishna explains that both paths can lead to the same goal, but that Karma Yoga is the path most suitable for Arjuna, as he is a warrior and his duty is to fight. Krishna emphasizes the importance of performing one's duties without attachment to the results, as attachment leads to bondage and suffering. Krishna says, "Do your duty, but do not have any attachment to the fruits of your actions. That is the way to attain the Supreme." This is the central teaching of Karma Yoga, to perform one's duties without any desire for personal gain or recognition. Krishna also explains that Karma Yoga is not about renouncing action, but rather about renouncing attachment to the results of the action. He says, "You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of your actions. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, nor be attached to inaction." In other words, we should perform our duties to the best of our abilities, but we should not be attached to the outcome. We should do what is right, what is just, and what is necessary, but we should not be motivated by personal gain or ego. Krishna also emphasizes the importance of performing one's duties without any expectation of reward or recognition. He says, "A self-realized person has no interest in the results of their actions, whether good or bad. They are fully absorbed in the self, and they see everything as a manifestation of the divine. This is the ultimate goal of Karma Yoga, to become self-realized, to see everything as a manifestation of the divine, and to act without any attachment to the results of our actions." Krishna also explains that the path of Karma Yoga is not easy. It requires discipline, self-control, and deep commitment to one's duties. He says, "One who is regulated in their habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga of action." In other words, we must be disciplined in all aspects of our lives, not just our spiritual practices. We must cultivate self-control and self-awareness in all areas, including our diet, our sleep, our recreation, and our work. Krishna also emphasizes the importance of performing our duties with a sense of detachment. He says, "The wise man acting with detachment should perform his duty without attachment for the sake of sacrifice alone." This means that we should not be attached to the results of our actions, but rather we should perform our duties as an act of sacrifice to a higher power. Krishna also warns against the dangers of inaction. He says, "Action is better than inaction. Even the maintenance of your body would not be possible without action." In other words, we must not use the concept of detachment as an excuse for inaction or laziness. We must still perform our duties to the best of our abilities, even if we are not attached to the outcome. Krishna also explains the difference between the ignorant and the wise. He says, "The ignorant work for their own profit, while the wise work for the welfare of the world, without attachment to the fruits of their actions." This means that the wise person performs their duties with a sense of detachment and with a focus on benefiting others rather than just themselves. Krishna concludes the chapter by emphasizing the importance of surrendering our actions to a higher power. He says, "In all activities, just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me." This means that we should surrender our actions to a higher power and perform our duties with a sense of devotion and surrender. In summary, Chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita teaches us about the path of Karma Yoga, the yoga of action. This path teaches us to perform our duties without attachment to the results and to act with a sense of detachment, discipline, and self-awareness. The ultimate goal of Karma Yoga is to become self-realized, to see everything as a manifestation of the divine, and to act without any attachment to the results of our actions. We can apply the teachings of Karma Yoga to our own lives by performing our duties to the best of our abilities, without attachment to the outcome, and with a focus on benefiting others rather than ourselves. So that's it for today's episode of the Bhagavad Gita podcast. I hope you enjoyed this deep dive into the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita Chapter 3 and that you can apply these teachings to your own life. Until next time, keep practicing, keep learning, and keep growing.